This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
The title of this teaching time is, as you might guess from the slide that's on the screen, On the Edge. And you'll see why it's called that in a minute. I'll start out this time by sharing this brief scripture passage with you. It's from Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. And Jesus is speaking, "Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious to people." We'll talk about how this passage relates to today's topic here in a moment. But folks, I want to tell you, it's my observation personally and plainly that this nation right now is on the edge. This nation is on a cliff overlooking an abyss. For the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at first images of people marching to end racism. That's a worthy cause. The marchers were protesting injustice. That's also a worthy cause. And so those folks had a reason and a just cause for what they were doing. But soon after that, we began seeing video images of masked people shaking their fists in the air, carrying and strutting and waving the communist flag. They were burning down police stations, burning other buildings, looting businesses and destroying people's livelihoods. They overturned cars, beat up innocent women and children, and gladly harmed anyone or destroyed anything that got in their way. One of the more recent developments is a mob has taken over 6 blocks of downtown Seattle and declared it an autonomous zone. It now even has the acronym CHAZ, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Now, effectively seceding from the Union. Well, we know how it worked the last time some people tried that. And all of this is on the heels of the COVID-19 pandemic. And on the lighter side, if there is one, and I saw this image this week on Facebook, and it's a tongue-in-cheek look at the calendar for the rest of 2020. You see, we start out with all the forest fires in Australia. In February, we had the swarms of locusts destroying the crops in Africa. See, March, April, May, we have the pandemic. In June, now we have the protests and the riots. In July, they're forecasting that we're going to have a solar flare. In August, the Yellowstone volcano will erupt. In September, they're saying we're going to have an alien invasion. In October, November, another pandemic, and then December, a giant asteroid is going to hit the planet. Whoever put this together either has deep sense of foreboding about the future, or they just have a very dark sense of humor, whatever the case. But be that as it may, we're faced today with the reality that if recent events say nothing else, they tell us of a profound need for the church to experience a real revival. Now, I know I've spoken on this topic a lot, and we've had prayer meetings and participated with other groups in times of prayer and fasting. Yet, there is one reality we cannot miss here. The need for fasting and prayer for this nation and for revival in the church is greater now than it ever has been. This is the connection to the passage from the beginning at our teaching time today. Look at what Jesus said to the people. In the Matthew 6 passage, Jesus said, "Whenever you fast." Whenever you fast. Now, there's no command here. He's not telling us you have to fast, or you're not very spiritual if you don't fast. But remember, in the same way, in the Great Commission, the words Jesus used, actually as they are in the Greek, say, "As you are going, preach the gospel, make disciples, etc." There's no real command there either. Because you see, Jesus believed it wasn't necessary to put a command there, because Jesus believed that if you are a follower of Christ, you are automatically going to be going and sharing your faith and making disciples. And in the same way, in Matthew chapter 6, he is assuming that if you are a disciple of his, that you are going to be fasting, which is why he said, whenever you fast. There's no command. He didn't think it needed one, because it was assumed we would be doing that already. Now, Jesus mentioned fasting again in Matthew 9, 14 and 15. Then John's disciples came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests be sad while the groom is with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So how does this relate? It relates simply because we are now in that time where Jesus is not physically with us. Okay. See, we have this reality that he is not physically here. And we have the real need to experience the reality that he can be with us by his Holy Spirit. Then there's the element of missing something. Jesus spoke of the wedding guests fasting because the groom was no longer with them. It's a time to respond to God's deeper call on us because we're missing something. Because our world is being turned upside down, and that, my friends, I believe is right now. And we are missing something, and we're missing that past order that we all enjoyed. We are now experiencing the reality of all that we know being turned up on its head. Now, some of us here only remember life being turbulent, ever-changing, and your reality constantly shifting from one situation to another. However, there are those of us in this congregation here who remember a time when things didn't change so radically from one day to the next. Those of us who are over a certain age remember a time in the United States where things did kind of go along kind of constantly, and we weren't dealing with an ever-changing set of circumstances, sometimes hour by hour. And I think this is what Jesus meant when he said that there is a time when the groom will be taken away, where our sense of security in this life will be removed or shaken, and then they will fast. At this point, it's appropriate to look at two separate biblical occasions where fasting is the response to a situation. The first is 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 through 6. Time went by until 20 years had passed since the ark had been taken to Kiriath-Jearim. Then the whole house of Israel longed for the Lord. Samuel told him, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, get rid of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths that are among you. Set your hearts on the Lord and worship only him. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines. So the Israelites removed the Baals and the Ashtoreths and only worshiped the Lord. Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord on your behalf. When they gathered at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out in the Lord's presence. They fasted that day, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the Israelites at Mizpah. What's happening in this passage? Well, yes, there's fasting. And what's important is to see the circumstances behind the fasting. First, there is a longing for the Lord. We see that in the line, then the whole house of Israel longed for the Lord. Do we see that? They longed for the Lord. Their hearts were broken by their adverse situation, and they looked for a solution. And in that search for a solution, they turned to God. Samuel then told them what their ultimate remedy would be. He told them to put away their idols and worship the Lord only. In the past, I've gone down a long list of possible things we could get rid of, but that's not necessary. I believe we all know what our idols are and the things that get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. The second issue is equally as serious. They confessed sin. So there are two things that relate to an occasion for fasting here. And we shouldn't overlook the 800-pound gorilla that was in the room. They had the Philistines to deal with. Folks, we're facing a serious situation now where we need a victory over those Philistines, the people who are at war with our faith. Those are the Philistines, and we need victory over them. And the way to do that is the way the Israelites did it at Mizpah. Pray and fast. The second scenario is found in Nehemiah 1, chapters 3 and 4. The remnant in the province who survived the exile are in great trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's wall has been broken down and its gates have been burned. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the God of the heavens. Some folks have come from Jerusalem and told Nehemiah the condition of the city, and it's natural that he would weep because he was faithful to his God and he was faithful to Israel. So naturally, he mourned for the condition of his city. But let's look at what Nehemiah did. He didn't whine, and he didn't gather a mob to go protest against the king. What did he do? He fasted and he prayed. Folks, we now have a situation in this country where buildings are being burned. Business is being ransacked, and some people's lives have been ruined by the revolutionaries, and that's what they are. And I would honestly tell you that the Lord has to be grieved by these events. No, the Lord doesn't approve of any of the injustices. And yes, he's grieved over the injustices that the original protesters were protesting against. But he is grieved now by the violence that's being acted out in our cities and in our towns. The city of Chicago is undergoing something very similar to what Seattle is, although nobody's taken over city blocks. But there's violence out the ears there. Businesses have been burned. People's livelihoods have been stolen from them. God is grieved by that. So what did Nehemiah do? He fasted and he prayed. For the past 3 or 4 days, I've sent out messages asking people to join in a time of fasting and prayer tomorrow, Monday, June 15th. It's gotten an extremely positive response. So we know that there will minimally be hundreds of people tomorrow in unity, praying and fasting for this nation. One meal, two meals, three, 24 hours, just some fasting. And in that time, seeking to hear God's voice and then giving your time to a time of prayer tomorrow for this nation. There's never been a time more appropriate for that than right now. We're seeing what amounts to a revolution under our very eyes and noses. Church, it's time to be the church and to go to the Lord and ask Him to deliver this nation. So let's spend some time tomorrow with all those people all across the country who are fasting and praying for this nation to be healed and for a revival in the church. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.